Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, I've brought along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard, and thank you for inviting me, Carolyn.
Yes. I wonder if other people are in the snow like we are.
I'm sure some people are. We're certainly in the thick of it, that's for sure.
Indeed, the thick of it.
I haven't ventured outside today. I've stuck my nose out and cleared the front doorway a couple of times so I'm able to open it in the morning and start work. But there's a serious amount of snow out there, and there's been wind blowing, so it's kind of like waves of snow out there. I've never seen anything like it here, that's for certain.
Yeah, the poor animals and the poor homeless people. I'm very conscious of what they're going through right now.
Indeed.
Well, Richard, tell us, my dear, who is our guest tonight? Do you want to talk about that?
Our guest is John the Beloved, which was one of Yeshua's apostles. And he has connected with me. Told me he's been waiting for me to show up.
Yeah, he actually came and said he wanted to be on the show, didn't he?
He did. Came knocking on your door. I don't hear them when they come knocking on my door. If they knock at all, maybe they've given up. They just go to you. But anyway.
I think what it is, you don't have a door.
That's probably true.
I love it. So, what have you got to say about John the Beloved?
Well, firstly, let's start with his energy as we do. And I've been feeling his energy for a while. It's just love is the word I would use. There's, in a way, very little else going on. It's so palpable, so clear. It's not overwhelming. And there's complexity to it, compassion, sensitivity, awareness, but ultimately it's a sense of love overwhelmingly. And it just is there, just sitting there. It's like it's eternal in a way, if love is any other way, but it feels, it has that sense of eternal about it. I can't quite say why I feel that, but that's what I feel.
Thank you for that, Richard.
And so let's see what he has to say to us tonight. My dear friends, it is, as ever, an honor to come forth in this manner. It is an opportunity that few get, and indeed, it is available to few, because whilst there are many individuals that believe they are channeling other sources, and some certainly are, many who believe that they are in fact not channeling who they think they are, or they are communicating really with their own internal dialogue, you might say, whether it be just their egoic self, or whether it be their higher self, or indeed even their soul in some cases. And in others, as you might imagine, the dark have found ways to interfere with, including some of those upon this planet have set up very sophisticated mechanisms to interfere with individuals and give them, you might consider, internal messages. And so it is very difficult for someone who is examining the messages that come forth in the world of the internet to assess what is real and what is not. And perhaps the only way to assess these things is through your own inner guidance, your own sense of what is true. And this takes some work to develop for most people. It is not something that is naturally there. In a sense, it is an extension of the intuition, which is active for most women and certainly without practice and exposure, inactive for most men because their focus is elsewhere. However, this inner guidance to which intuition is connected is really the key to assessing these things. And as I said, this takes practice and in most cases walking a particular journey that opens up that ability to assess these things. And of course, once you are able to open that door and begin to trust your sources, then indeed the guidance can come from elsewhere on what is true and what is not. And so I've taken a moment to express this because so little of what is out there on the internet that is available, seemingly bringing forth information from higher sources, you might say, very little of it is in fact accurate. It is a wonderful thing that the doorway to such messages has become much more open. Far more people are open to the possibility that messages can be brought forth in this manner from beings beyond your dimension. Indeed, still most of humanity, at least in the Western world, does not believe that this is a possibility, that indeed life exists beyond death upon your planet. And so such people are completely closed to such possibilities. But despite this, the number of people that are open to this is growing in your world and continues to grow, and it is part of the process of awakening, you might say, that is happening upon the planet. And so I take heart from this, even though I give my warning about it, that for the most part, people are giving their trust too easily to the messages and give credence to the supposed source without considering who is bringing that message forth, because you cannot separate these things. Some sources might be saying they are bringing forth Archangel Michael, for example, when they are not. And so simply to quote the apparent source of the message is insufficient for you to understand whether it is a message that you can trust. So be skeptical, my friends. Be skeptical more than trusting on all of this, because it continues to be fraught with uncertainty. So I wanted to, as I said, take a moment to talk a little about this issue, because it will grow in importance as more and more people begin to open to the possibility of other expressions of consciousness, other layers of consciousness, you might say, in which life exists and beings exist and souls exist for those that have crossed over in the past. So I wanted to share these initial words with you. And I also wanted to make a few comments about what is unfolding in your world, because your world is in a difficult place currently. You are entering a time when the circumstances of life for many people will become seriously deteriorated. Those of you who might be in, let us say, third world countries or developing countries, or, for example, a South American country, already events have unfolded to dramatically change your circumstances of living. Those countries that have been dependent upon raw material exports such as iron ore, or now oil, of course, has joined this, such as, for example, Brazil and Venezuela and others. These countries have suffered hugely in the last year or two as the prices of those raw materials has fallen dramatically. And it is starting to flow through to what you might consider the developed world, such as the United States, Europe, and other such countries. And flow through it will, and it will be very debilitating because many people will be unemployed. There will be banks struggling far more than they struggled in 2008, and the availability of credit will tighten quickly. Even though interest rates might stay low, the availability of credit will dry up in your world. These two things might seem incongruous, but they are not. The interest rate and the availability of funds are not necessarily simply inversely related, you might say. You might expect interest rates to go up as credit tightens, but that is not necessarily the case. And I do not see that happening as events unfold. So you are entering a difficult time, and I wanted to alert those who are not already across this to the fact that this is unfolding. And it has been long planned, as you might understand. It is no accident. And as I say, it is going to be very difficult as you move through 2016 and move beyond it. It will be a very difficult time in your world. And so I encourage you, where you can, to be conservative financially, to minimize your risks. Of course, it is difficult to change your circumstances quickly, to suddenly clear any debt that you might have. But if that is a choice, then I encourage you to take whatever steps are necessary to do that. So be conservative and be careful to the best of your ability is my advice. So I wanted to, as I say, alert people to this time because it is a very difficult time that is emerging in your world. And life will not just be about these challenges and difficulties, because it is also the time when the possibility of great positive change will finally emerge in your world. It has been a long path, and many others have suggested it would have emerged by now, but in many ways it was really too early for that, as the pieces needed to be fully in place for, you might say, the Dark Ones to try their level best to control humanity before it is ripped away from them. And so there are forces of positive change beginning to emerge in your world, and gradually you'll become aware of these, and some of you are closely connected to some of these positive changes, others not. But come they will, and they will create opportunities for freedom for humanity that is outside the grip of those who control your world so closely, who create these circumstances of poverty, of lack, and you might say create the circumstances that see most of humanity having to spend most of their waking hours working to gather enough resources to survive. And this, my friends, is going to change, and change quite soon it will. So even though I come forth with warnings about what is unfolding, I also come forth with an overriding message of hope, an overriding message of possibility, of prosperity for humanity as events unfold and the grip of these Dark Ones is broken, this grip that has held humanity for so long. Indeed, if you understand it fully, it goes back to my time, to Yeshua's time and beyond it. So this is, in its essence, very old, though that grip has changed in its nature over time and has become much, much more intense in your time as this all moves towards a pinnacle, you might say, as all this comes together. So this is my message to you. be wary, be careful, but be optimistic about how events will unfold. And so it is.
Thank you so much for your very clear understanding of what's in the future. For those who have accumulated some funds, since this is such a dangerous time, can you give us some ideas as to where people might accumulate these funds, where they might put them?
It is a difficult question to be certain about. Certainly, the stock market is not a place to put it, nor, in my opinion, is the bond market. And there are uncertainties about the banks. And so, even though there is not currently any evidence that precious metals have turned the corner, you might say, and begun to rise in value because these markets are manipulated like every market on the globe. Perhaps precious metals are the best option to protect yourself. And in this, I'm not suggesting buying shares in companies that are miners, though when the market turns, perhaps that might be a possibility. But rather, if you are able to in your country to purchase gold and silver itself, partly as coins and partly simply as the metal itself. Again, I'm not guaranteeing that this will suddenly make you wealthy, but it perhaps will offer a level of protection that few other vehicles will currently offer.
Thank you. We have a caller. Cindy from California is on line one. Cindy, you have a question?
Yes, I do. I would like to know when the currencies will exchange at the banks. I was advised by Mother God through Catherine May to buy some Vietnamese dong, and that when they announce the revaluation or the reset of the currencies, that I'm to exchange that for dollars to be able to buy land in Northern California so I can start a permaculture site and help Mother Earth heal and live off-grid. So my question is, can you tell us how soon or when the currency exchanges will take place in the United States?
There is a great deal of speculation that there will be dramatic revaluation of some overseas currencies. For example, the Iraqi Dina has been subject to such speculation for a long period of time. And you mentioned the Vietnamese currency as another that has been considered in this manner. And I would say to you that in large measure, I do not give credence to those views. I do not consider that you will see a significant windfall shift in those currencies relative to the US dollar such that you will get a dramatic return from that investment. I do not wish to bring you unpleasant tidings, but that is my view. There have been so many mechanisms used to divert and distract and discourage those who wish to help humanity and walk the journey of the light. But it is my opinion that currency speculation is not a path forward, and that, in essence, is what you are doing. You are indulging in currency speculation, and I suggest it is not a particularly safe path.
You didn't mention Nassara.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I would say to you, as has been said by many others, that Nassara is a myth, again has been planted as a story to mislead and distract those who wish to move things forward, and in a way to disempower them, to have an expectation that there will be this magical reset for all of humanity, that suddenly money will gush forth from some secret fund. And I can say to you very categorically.
What about St. Germain's Prosperity Fund?
My dear Cindy, I would say to you to be careful what you give credence to. Again, I come back to what I said about discernment, about trusting that true sense within. There has been speculation about this fund for a long, long, long time, and I would say to you that there is no truth to this story.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Cindy.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. So if I'm understanding this message correctly, we're being told to economize, not to waste, take care of our resources. I don't think we have touched upon helping others who are not prepared.
Yes, of course, for those who are able to assist others, as always, giving to others is a key element in the process of life. It is the mechanism by which abundance comes your own direction. But of course, you need to begin by taking care of yourself to the best of your ability, or you have little to give to others. And so begin with yourself, but then where you are able to assist those that are close to you, beginning with family if they are in need, or people that you have a connection with. Again, it is better to work in this manner to people that you have some kind of connection or relationship with, and to use that primarily as the basis for contributing. Again, there are always those within our awareness, within our circle, that are, you might say, able to benefit from whatever it is that we are able to give. It may not be simply a matter of money. There are many other things that we have that we can use to contribute to other people, even just advice and guidance and love and compassion. All these things are things that we can give that are not simply financially related. Perhaps as events unfold, there may be room in your house for someone that you care about who has fallen on hard times. Be open to all of these possibilities as events unfold.
Thank you. Sometimes just listening to people as they express their sorrows is a big help to individuals. Louis from New York is online too. Louis, do you have a question? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Do you have a question, dear?
Yes. You had said in the message that some of us were closer to these positive changes than others. And I wanted to know if he could elaborate on that a little bit more, because I feel that the things that I'm doing in this time may be putting me at risk. And I just wanted to get a perspective on that.
Can you explain risk for a second? What do you mean by putting you at risk?
Well, anyone who, exposes the dark and the plans that they have, put themselves at risk. And I would see myself in associated with that. So.
Okay.
In the work that I do.
Do we have an answer for that, Richard?
Those who have more an understanding of the changes I was referring to as those amongst this group who are and know they are incarnated cherubim and hence have an understanding of that particular mechanism for bringing change to the world. And so that was my particular reference. In terms of risk, risk is always something that you need to assess as you step forward in your life, and you need to decide what the balance is for yourself. There are no hard and fast rules about this. If you are sharing hidden information with the public, then you are putting yourself more at risk. However, if all you are doing is expressing your understandings based on public information, then you are perhaps not at the same level of risk as if you are actually exposing hidden information that those who wish to see that information stay hidden will object to. And in such circumstances, you are at a greater risk. So it's something everybody needs to assess for themselves based upon the path they wish to walk. Some people do not wish to take any kind of risk in this regard, and hence, even though they may understand things, they wish to keep that knowledge to themselves, and that is a perfectly valid decision. In the end, the information that needs to be understood will be understood because the evidence in the world will be so strong that it cannot be ignored. And I mean this both in terms of the activities of what you and I would call the dark and also the activities of those that we would consider the light. Both of these will become more obvious. And so if you are feeling like your activities are placing you at risk, then perhaps you may wish to consider curtailing what you are undertaking. Again, this is a balance you need to find for yourself and really trust your own inner guidance in that regard. Again, some people are able, because of who and what they are, to expose more information than others because on a level they are protected for who and what they are. That is the nature of life. It is not something that is well understood in your world, but that is the truth of the matter.
Thank you for your answers. I was thinking about some things that I have heard about raising food in a garden, planting fruit trees. This just seems like some simple things that we can do to help ourselves when the circumstances become more difficult.
It is a skill that humanity in large measure has lost, and that is the ability and the practice of providing for themselves many of the basics of life. Indeed, not a great deal of land is required to cultivate vegetables, to, as a result of that, put away some of that harvest in a preserved manner for the winter time and so on. These are skills and practices that in large measure humanity has lost. But if you have access to the earth, then I encourage you to do this. Of course, growing vegetables is a much more short-term consideration than planting fruit trees, which takes several years to begin to produce in volume, whereas vegetables in large measure produce in the year that they are planted. So it is a much more immediate return. But recovering some of those skills where you have the opportunity, where you have access to the land, either your own land or somebody else that you know has land that is willing to work with you, I encourage you to build up those skills again, to awaken them, and in so doing, give yourself some independence from the, you might consider, control system of the world, because it is indeed part of the control system. If you control people's food and the supply of that food, then you really control people. People begin to die fairly quickly when you deprive them of food. Water more quickly, of course, but there is, of course, the dependency. And what begins to happen is people's food or people's electricity disappears if that happens, there rapidly follows a great deal of social dislocation. So the more you can isolate yourself from these possibilities, the better off you are. Again, humanity has simply allowed themselves in large measure to develop this dependency upon what I would call the system, the state in its broadest definition, to accept that power comes down the cable to your house, and without it you're in a lot of trouble, that your food comes from the supermarket or the grocery store. And in doing so, again, you have this dependence. And most people live that way because most people have become very urban in their living circumstances. And it is difficult for someone who lives in an apartment or a unit, multi-story apartment, to gain access to land and grow vegetables and so on. But if you have that opportunity, then should it be the season to do so for you, I encourage you to take that opportunity, or when the weather warms up, to do it in your environment.
Thank you. I was thinking about some of the farmers markets that sell food at a great variety of food at lower prices sometimes, that people can buy from these sources and put that away for the time when these situations come into play.
I think that's a good suggestion. The farmers markets very often have, or if you search out the right markets, they can quite often have a lot of produce. For example, if you want to consider canning, you can buy seconds at very low prices, which for canning purposes and so on are perfect.
Yes.
We've come to accept that produce in the grocery store should be completely unblemished or perfectly shapen or very close thereto, whereas really in natural circumstances the shapes go all over the place and things get a little marked and so on, and in our world those things get devalued enormously, and if you seek them out they can be very inexpensive, and of course they're still perfect food.
Absolutely. Thank you for that suggestion. We've done some of that ourselves and have noticed the results.
Indeed.
So how long would our guests say these times are going to last? That's going to be very difficult for people.
It is hard to say exactly, but my sense is that for those who do not grasp the opportunity to transform their circumstances, these circumstances could exist for a long time and indeed in many ways continue to worsen. However, for those who grasp the opportunity as it emerges to transform their lives through the mechanisms that will emerge, then change can begin within a matter of months. So it's a matter of choices as much as anything else. Will you choose to step outside of the, you might say, intentionally destroyed world as you experience it, because this is what is truly beginning in earnest, and whether you grasp the opportunity to, for example, access a source of power and water and food that does not depend upon the grid and so on. And these things will open up for everybody in various ways if they grasp the opportunity. So it's a complex question, you might say, depending in large measure upon the choices made by the individual as events unfold.
Thank you. Do you have any insights as to the weather? Are we going to see big shifts in the weather during these times?
We do not consider that there will be great shifts in this time. As you know, the story of global warming is simply not accurate. And if anything, the weather has begun to cool on average rather than get hotter. Of course, that is not what your mainstream media tells you, but that is the truth of the matter. If anything, you will see a cooling process occur rather than a warming one. And so, in terms of the time frame we are talking about, which is perhaps 2 to 5 years, we do not see any significant change in that period.
Thank you. Do you see any sources trying to control the internet?
There are efforts being made to control the internet in various ways, and this is a continuous process. There are, in fact, mechanisms already in place which would authorize the complete shutting down of the internet in the United States, for example, and such legislation exists in other countries. So a large segment of the internet could easily be shut down very quickly if those in power decided it was in their interest to do so. So in a sense, you could say those efforts have been undertaken. But whether the internet itself will actually be shut down, I do not expect this will unfold, but certainly the possibility and the authority is in place to do so.
Thank you so much for your answer. I'm wondering about the efforts to control the leaders of our country, whether it's the United States or some other country. I suspect there's a lot of that going on.
This has been going on for a long, long time. It is just not visible to people. The truth of the matter is that the leaders of countries have been controlled by the global elite for well over 100 years in all of the major countries of the world. It is just hidden from people. People are persuaded that the democratic process gives them a voice, and in a way it is an emotional release that they feel they have selected their leader when in fact they really have not. Even if there is a true electoral process in place, those that are elected are always pre-chosen and always controlled from, in many cases, from birth. And so the efforts to control these leaders is well down the path. It is not something new, and there is not going to be a growing level of control. It is already thoroughly implemented.
I want to thank you for all of the information that you have brought us so generously. And Richard, you for taking this information. We thank you also because it takes a lot of skill on which to do this, and we want to offer our thanks to you for doing it.
Thank you, Carolyn.
We're getting close to the end of the show. You wanted to mention something to people that would be available to them. Do you care to talk about it now?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. We have had a number of people approach us to set up what you might consider just a kind of generalized question and answer session with Carolyn and I, sometimes just picking our brains, sometimes wanting us to bring forth information from a particular source that the individual feels close to but they're unable to plug into themselves. And so we decided to formally offer that, and I will be setting that up in the next few days. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to let you know that that I'll be formally setting that up and making it available. So basically what you would do is order an hour time slot with Carolyn and I, and we'll do it over the phone or via Skype as we do these things. And really the floor is yours in terms of questions, where you want to go, what you want to do, what's on your mind, what you want to get clarity about. And so, as I say, that's going to be a very free-form kind of thing. I mean, anyone that orders those will understand our skills to be able to bring forth information from many sources, and so on. So I'll be, as I say, making that available in the coming days.
Yes, thank you for discussing, talking to us about this, Richard, because I think this is very important. People, as I see it, don't have a lot of places where they can go to get these kinds of answers.
Indeed, and it's just it's very interesting, really, to be in the place where these sources come forth and talk to us about various events in the world and beyond it, and about individuals as well. So we're very happy to make that available to you.
Did you want to talk about our Templar videos?
It's funny you should raise that, because we've been seeing some renewed interest in those videos, and really it is quite extraordinary material, in my opinion. For those of you who are not familiar, a couple of years ago, Carolyn was contacted by a couple of the Knights Templar, who lived about 1,000-odd years ago, and they wanted to explain who and what they actually were, because there's a lot of misinformation in the historical record and, indeed, in people's interpretation today about who and what they were. And so they asked to come forth, and they gave a series of messages to Carolyn and I. Carolyn would take a message from them, then I would, and so they were interwoven in that way. And I think, I can't remember now, I think there were over 30-odd messages in the end that we took, and we made those available as a recording with in video form, with images that were matched to them by our Greek friend who has the wonderful skills to do that. And so they're available both in DVD and Blu-ray format. And when you order one of those, you also receive via email the text of those messages. So it's really quite extraordinary material. I'll add in the link with this when I send out the email with the recording available from this session. But it really is extraordinary material. I had cause to look at them a little again recently, and they, frankly, even though I was in the middle of it, they amaze me when I start watching and listening to them again, particularly some of the material that Carolyn brought forth with her extraordinary skills.
Yes, that was very interesting. Also, one of the things that comes to my mind is how they used jewels, like rubies and emeralds and sapphires, that they ground up and put into the windows in churches, in the Gothic cathedrals.
Yes, some people listening to us may not be aware that the Knights Templar were responsible for building the core Gothic cathedrals in Europe, which they built on key energy sites which had been known to the Druids long before them. And so they built those extraordinary buildings, and even though they are seen today as buildings that are important to the Catholic Church, because they were built under the auspices of the Catholic Church and still remain under their control, you might say, indeed they were built for quite different reasons than just being huge churches. They were key, they had key energetic functions. They were built, as I say, on key energetic sites, energy sites where two ley lines crossed, and the energies either came out of the ground or went into the ground at those key sites. And so they were used to awaken people energetically and spiritually. And there's actually a path of initiation, you might say, that begins in Compostela in Spain and passes through France and finishes up at Roslyn Chapel in Scotland, where each of the chakras, the key seven chakras of the body, are worked on in one of those sites. And some people would spend years working through that pilgrimage. And of course, all of that was carefully hidden from the Catholic Church. It had no idea what these buildings were for. And so they contain quite extraordinary powers. And as Carolyn said, one of the things that they did to colour the windows, they actually used ground-up gemstones because it gave the windows an energy, a power that they would not otherwise have to direct what was occurring inside those extraordinary cathedrals and churches that they built. Quite a story.
Yes, it is. And Richard, we're coming to the end of our show. Is there anything now that you wish to discuss that we haven't touched upon?
I don't think so, Carolyn. And we still have quite a bit of time. It's only not quite 10:02 yet. But we might see if our guest has anything else that he wishes to add. I feel that I have shared with you the key things I wanted to say, and perhaps some will consider what I shared with you tonight to be negative. And it was not my intention to be pessimistic, but rather to alert people who may not already be aware of the challenging time that is emerging in your world, but also in parallel, the opportunity to move beyond this challenge. And so I myself, as I said, am not pessimistic, and I do not encourage you to be pessimistic either, but rather seek to find your own path. When you walk your journey, even though in some ways it might seem a little challenging, in overall terms, the doorways will open in front of you when you take care of what you need to take care of by way of self-healing and move forward on your journey as you sense it to be. When you do these things, life has a way of unfolding in front of you, and so you should be optimistic about the journey of life and try not to over-define how your life should look, because it is the nature of the human journey, this uncertainty, this changeability in a manner. And so it is about your approach to life rather than the detail of it that is most important. And so these are the final words that I would share with you. And I once more thank you for the opportunity to come forth and speak with you in this manner. So it is.
We would like to thank you for all the marvelous information that you have given us. And so, Richard, was there anything else that you wanted to discuss closing out this show tonight?
I think I'm done, Carolyn. Do you have anything?
You're really done, huh?
I think I am.
Takes a lot. Richard, I would like to thank you in a special way because it takes a lot of energy to do what you do. A whole hour, bring forth this information, a lot of concentration. People don't realize the amount of energy that it takes from a person to be able to do this. And
thank
so
you.
I would like to thank you for your work, for what you do. And I look forward to those people who might be calling us in the future who want to discuss things with us, questions that they have. There's not a lot of places where you can go and get this information.
Indeed. And so I suggest we perhaps finish up a couple of minutes early. And so I thank you, Carolyn, for your role in holding the context for this and asking questions and so on. And so until next time, my friends, good night for now.
Good night for now.